Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we continue on in our study of how to witness effectively for the Lord Jesus Christ according to the text that is given us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, which says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And we are in the second section of the three parts of that verse. The first part telling us that we need to develop courage, and the second part that we are to work on being prepared, and the final part has to do with the courtesy of speech and approach with, that we engage this task with. I don't know if that sentence came out exactly right, but I think you know what I was talking about. And so we're still working on that preparation part. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. And thus far, we have seen the following areas in our preparedness. Number one, we should always be prepared. Number two, we should be able to explain the gospel. And number three, we need to maintain some flexibility in our witness. Now I'll go back over those and then move on a little bit further in just a moment, but right now I welcome you to this Thursday, January 23rd edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and I am so grateful for those radio listeners whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. All right, first of all, we should be prepared at any time. That's number one. Always be ready. Always be ready in regard to explaining why we are Christians and how others may come into this gospel privilege, this great blessed privilege that we enjoy as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must always be prepared because we never know when an opportunity is going to present itself. Number two, we need to be able to explain the gospel. Be ready to give a defense of everyone who asks you a reason. And as we've already learned, that word reason concentrates upon the content of our message. Everyone who asks you for a reason, a word, a message, a clear explanation of what the gospel is all about and how you can possibly believe such a thing, which, of course, is the critical approach that many people take. But even that should be viewed as an opportunity for witness. It's so easy for us to bristle and react and clam up and close down when we sense that the person who is questioning us is doing so with critical and even hostile intent. But we should recognize, as I have already mentioned, that these are witnessing opportunities as well, and we never know when the Lord may use it to enlighten the person who has asked the question. How do we know? What kind of questions would Saul of Tarsus have asked before the Damascus Road? I don't think they would have been very meek, mild, kind, considerate, soft, and welcoming. Do you? But who knows what witness was lodged in his heart that was preparing him for his Damascus Road encounter? Obviously, he wasn't saved until Christ struck him down on the Damascus Road. But does that mean that no other witness, for example, the powerful witness of Stephen, the first martyr, that Paul was himself a witness to, that those words, that his actions, that his demeanor had no effect upon the Apostle Paul? I think all of the evidence would be to the contrary, that Paul looked at that as one of the most significant events in his journey to the cross. He didn't come to the cross at that time. He came to the cross on the Damascus Road, but that witness of Stephen was a powerful preparation for his Damascus Road conversion. And so even critical questions can be wonderful opportunities to witness that we never know how God may use them and when God may use them. He may use them now to change the critic into a friend. He may use them months or years down the road to change that critic into a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need to be ready to give a defense, to give a word, to give an explanation. We need to be able to explain the gospel in clear enough terms that people can understand what it's all about. We need to be able to say more than, believe in Jesus. There's more to it than that. That's really not sufficient explanation. That's not really giving a reason that we are commanded to do here. What do you mean, believe on Jesus? Who is Jesus? Why should I believe on him? What did he do? What am I supposed to believe about him? We assume a lot. We assume that people know all about this because we do, and because some of us, many of us, have grown up in homes where we heard the gospel all of our lives, and sometimes we have the presumption that that's true of everybody else, and I can assure you that it's not. There probably has never been a time when that has been universally true in any location, but even in the places where it used to be broadly true, not universally true, but broadly true, those times are changing. When I first came to Alamance County, North Carolina in 1973, I would say that most of the people that I talked to about salvation had a pretty basic understanding of the gospel. This was the Bible Belt, and most people had been evangelized before I got to them. Doesn't mean they were Christians. To be evangelized doesn't mean that a person has been saved. It just means that they have been given the gospel. And most people understood the basics. Most people understood who Jesus was, at least to believe that he was indeed the eternal divine Son of God who came to earth in human flesh and lived a perfect life and died upon the cross, and his death upon the cross was a sacrifice for sinners, and that he rose from the dead, and that those who trust in him will be saved from their sins. Most people believed that. At least intellectually, they believed that. They knew it, and they believed it. And the fact of the matter is, most of the people that I encountered in 1973 and in the early years not only knew that information about Jesus and the basic tenets of the gospel, but most of them had made some kind of a profession in Jesus Christ at some time or another. You talk to the average person, perhaps going door to door or counting people out on the streets or whatever, and ask them if they knew the Lord, if they were saved, if they were a Christian, if they believed that they would go to heaven if they died, and most people would say something like, well, I was saved when I was 11. I was saved. I asked the Lord to save me. I prayed and asked the Lord to save me when I was 9 in Sunday school, or in my home, in my bedroom, perhaps with my mother praying with me at my bedside, or I walked an aisle in a revival meeting and I was saved, is usually the language that people would use. And then many times you would follow it up by asking, by saying something like, well, that's wonderful. What church are you involved in? What church are you fellowshipping in? Whatever language you might use there. And usually people would give me the name of a church, but I learned after a while that the next thing I should say was, oh, wonderful, what's the name of your pastor? Because I found out that an amazing percentage of people could not tell me the name of the pastor. And that's when the true reality began to come to the surface. Most people had a profession of faith. Most people had some church connection, a church that they could say, well, that's the church that I attend, that's the church I go to. But it becomes clear that what they meant was, when I go to church, that's where I go. And I don't go very often. Because if a person doesn't know the name of the pastor, you can be pretty sure that they aren't attending church very regularly. And that betrays that most of these people had made a profession of faith but had never been born again. But my point is that back then, most people knew the basic tenets of the gospel, but that's no longer true. That's no longer true in Alamance County, North Carolina. Some people do, but a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't. A lot of people don't. An awful lot of people that live in our county have not grown up in a Bible background, certainly not in the Baptist background. Some of them have not even grown up with any kind of Christian background, no matter what kind it is. And even those that have, a lot of them have not really been in church and don't know much about the gospel and really can't answer basic questions about God, about Jesus Christ, about man's sinful condition, and the basic tenets of the gospel. And this is what we need to be prepared to explain. We are to be ready at all times to give a reason, to give a word, to give an explanation for the hope that lies within us. That, of course, is the Christian hope. What kind of hope is that? Well, that is your expectation of going to heaven. This is not hope in the hope-so idea that we often use that word in today. I'm not hoping that I go to heaven when I die, but the Christian hope is an earnest expectation based upon the promises of God. It's not really a hope in the way we normally use that term as much as it is an eager anticipation. So we are to be prepared to give a reason for the eager anticipation that lies within us, the eager anticipation of the day when we will be with the Lord, the eager anticipation of the day when we will be in heaven. What makes you so sure of that? What makes you think that you're going to heaven? These are the kind of questions that we hope people will ask us, and we need to be able to give a clear explanation of the gospel. Well, this is why I have this hope. This is why I have this expectation, this anticipation. This is why. Let me tell you why. I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you why. And we need to be prepared to explain the gospel in its most basic terms. And then there needs to be a measure of flexibility. Not everybody's the same. Always ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you, old or young, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, Christian background or pagan background. You're going to meet all those kinds. There needs to be some flexibility in your approach. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.